in the sense that our Lord's showing us how do we approach God, how to pray, things we're to pray for. But he says there in verse 9 again, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Don't you pray like the Pharisees did. Don't do like that. First thing, we acknowledge Him as our Father. And our Father's in heaven. That's why we don't rush into His presence and offer the sacrifice of food. He says, be not rash with your mouth, for God is in the heavens. And you're upon the earth. Don't enter into His courts with the sacrifice of a fool. Don't rush in there. Be very careful what you say in God's presence. And then He said, hallowed, holy is thy name. Sanctify His name. Bring glory to His name. And then thy kingdom come. Oh, we want it to come in our hearts and our lives. We want it to come in other men's hearts and lives. For the King to come and sit upon the throne. And thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now this is what I want to deal with again tonight. I said just a few things about it last week. And there's two senses in which we do the will of God. We pray thy will be done. Two ways in which we respond to the will of God. We want to do His will as revealed in His Word. That's active obedience. You're here tonight because you want to do the will of God. You want to hear the gospel. You want to be with the saints. You want to assemble yourselves with those who believe Christ. You want to read His Word. You want to pray. You want to seek His will. You want to do His will. You want to honor Him by the way you conduct yourself and carry yourself. You want to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. As you find it, His Word, His will to be done, that's what you want done. And as they do it in heaven, that's the way you want to do it on earth. You want to do it joyfully, happily, thankfully, submissively, obediently, without murmuring, without complaining. And then there's another way of doing the will of God that's not active. It's the old timers called it passive. Passive, doing the will of God passively. Now what does that mean? It means to submit to God's will patiently, whenever He sends great trials and great afflictions and burdens our way. To submit to it patiently. Patiently. One thing that you'll notice when God took Israel through the wilderness, one thing He could not abide, and He punished them severely for it, was murmuring and complaining. And so, when we talk about passive obedience, our Lord had an active obedience and He had a passive obedience. He actively did the will of God all the days of His life, and He actively did the will of God till He got on the cross, and there is where He submitted to the will of God. Not my will, but thine be done. And so this is what I'm talking about. Waiting and patiently submissive to the will of God whenever He afflicts us, whenever He tries us, whenever He burdens us, whenever He puts us in the fire. And He's got all of us. Scott Richardson said this, and this is true. This is really true. Three positions you'll find a believer in his life at any one given time. He's either in trouble, coming out of trouble, or going into trouble. Something going on all the time in the believer's life. And now this is foreign to the teaching of today's churches and today's preachers. They teach and preach that affliction and suffering is not of God. It's not of God. It's either the devil doing it to you. God don't want anybody to suffer. God doesn't cause anybody to be afflicted. God wants us to be happy, to be healthy, to be wealthy. And that He wants us to be. And they said, if you do are afflicted, it's because you sinned, you committed some kind of sin. And if you'll find out what that sin is and repent of that sin, then your burdens and your afflictions will leave you. And so they use that to manipulate people and burden them and make them feel guilty. And every time something happens to them, they automatically start saying, God, what have I done? What have I done? I've been doing the best. Show me where I've done. Show me what I've done. And we know that's not so. We know it's not so. You know, the suffering of God's will, as well as doing it, that's what I'm talking about. The suffering. Like Paul and Silas, they were in jail in Philippi. Now they suffered. They put those men in stocks and they whipped them severely. Put them in jail. Now that was the will of God. And they suffered. And they submitted to it patiently and sang praises unto God in their affliction. Now that's what I mean. They just submitted to it. And they never complained about it. They never said, Lord, we're out here preaching. We're serving you. We're committed to you. We've given our lives over to you. Why are you letting us be beaten? Why are you letting us suffer like this? That's not what they said. And in fact, beloved, they were beaten and they were then thrown into prison. And then they, at midnight, they began to sing praises unto God. They began to bless His name. They began to use a psalm. I don't know what psalm it was, but they began to sing psalms unto God. And so when we talk about patiently submitting to the will of God, passive submission, a believer should. I believe a believer will. As the more he's taught, the more God deals with him, the longer he learns. Under any providence that God sends his way, under any trouble, under any affliction, under any burden, they should lie quietly at God's feet and say, Thy will be done. You know, Psalm 6, 46 and 10 says, Be still and know that I am God. Now that means, beloved, to lay quietly at His feet. To lay quietly and not murmur and not complain at what He's doing to you. And say, this is not good, this is not right. When David said this, he said, It's good for me that I've been afflicted. For by thy afflictions I've learned your statutes. And so be still and know that I'm God. Let me give you two or three things, and I won't hold you very long. And I've seen this happen so many times with so many people. But, you know, there are some people that submit to something because they submit to it because they can't do anything else. They say it's destiny, it's fate. And so they submit to it out of necessity. Not because they feel it's God's will. Not because they feel like it's God afflicting them. This is just something that's happened to me and I can't change the fact. So I'll just bite the bullet and I'll just out of necessity instead of out of patience and out of waiting on God. And you see, that's what, you know, I can't avoid it, so I'll have to suffer it. But let me give you three things. Three things that accompany. Three things that I believe that those who patiently submit to God's will, that they can, I believe you'll agree with me on this. Now, a believer, a child of God may be so acutely sensible of the affliction, so acutely sensible of the burden and the trial, and yet patiently submit to God's will, though they feel it acutely. You see, we're not stoics. We're not made of stone. We're sensible. We're concerned with God's dealings with us. You know, we don't just grit our teeth and say, no, we feel it. We feel it. We're not stoics. We're not like people who just, oh, no. Our Lord was sensible when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He prayed and sweat great drops of blood. Absolutely. He groaned in His spirit. He was troubled in His spirit. He was sorrowful even unto death. Now that's under a great affliction. He was sorrowful even unto death. And have you ever been so afflicted you said, Lord, if it would please you, just go ahead and take me home? And that's what our Lord, He was there. And He was sensible of God's hand on Him. And the great drops of blood began to sweat, come out of His skin. And yet He says, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, He was sorrowful. And I tell you, we can have this sorrowful and be greatly afflicted and yet be sensible of it. But we, beloved, we can do the same thing. We can have a great agony and say, yet, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. In fact, we're told in 1 Peter 5 there, He says this. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and He'll exalt you in due time, casting your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And oh, you can't humble yourself under God's hand if you're not sensible of God's hand being on you. And if you ain't got cares, you got no reason to cast them upon the Lord. And I'll tell you something else about a believer. A believer may weep and greatly cry under an affliction. Under an affliction and still patiently submit to God's will. Just because you weep and cry does not mean that you're not submissive to the will of God. It would be a natural affection not to weep. I wept yesterday. I seen some saints yesterday. I seen some people yesterday weeping. And God's hand was heavy on them. But they wept. It would be unnatural not to weep when God puts His hand heavy on you. Huh? Joseph wept. He wept when he saw his father. He wept when he saw his brethren. He wept. And these are the people who afflicted him.
Amen.
Huh? Job, he rent his clothes. And he said, it's the Lord. So I'm telling you, a person, you know, just because they weep and cry, that doesn't mean that they're not submitting to the will of God. Patiently, patiently. And a believer, let me show you this. Turn with me to Psalm 142. I want you to see this. Me and Paul Mahan talked about this the other day. You know, folks ask me all the time, well, you know, how you doing? I always say, I have no complaints. I have no complaints. And if I have any complaints, I want to tell them to the Lord. I want to tell them to the Lord. And a believer, a child of God, may complain in his affliction, may complain in his trial, may complain in his sickness, may complain in the great temptations that brought, yet still be submissive to the will of God. Look what David said here in Psalm 142, verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. There's nothing wrong with telling God how it hurts. There's nothing wrong with telling God how painful it is. There's nothing wrong with telling God how broken your heart is. There's nothing wrong with telling God that this really hurts. Lord, this is painful. And you know, and that's what we do. And we say, Lord, you see, we're not complaining against God. We're complaining to God. When you know, you can come to God, and just like a father, it's like a child when they're sick. They're not complaining to say, Mama, you made me sick, or Daddy, you made me. They come and tell you how sick they are, how they hurt, where they hurt, where you hurt at. And that's what they do. They come telling us what's wrong with. And that's what God says, come and tell me. Pour out your trouble to Him. Tell Him your trouble. Tell Him your heartache. Tell Him your fear. Tell Him your doubt. Tell Him what's going on. Tell Him that this is in your life and this is what's going on and I don't understand it. And I want you to uphold me in this. And we all have things and we say, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't know why this is happening. How you come, you do, you know, we can tell Him and say, Lord, help me with this. I want to tell you, come and tell Him exactly what you're going on in your heart. Tell Him what's going on in your life. Tell Him what's going on in your home. Tell Him what's going on in your marriage. Tell Him what's going on. Tell Him what's going on. Pour out your complaint to Him. And some folks say, whoa, but listen, that's what He wants us to do that.
Amen.
That's why it's the first thing He said here, pray after this manner, our Father. Our Father. Oh, nothing wrong with telling God how it hurts. Lord, it hurts. When you know, Peter says, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you. Let me tell you something about fire. It's one of the most painful things you've ever experienced is a bad burn, ain't it? Well, that's why it calls them fire trials. They get hot. They burn. They get painful. Oh, and that's why it calls them that way, you know. And God said, I begot you in the furnace of affliction.
Yes.
You know, when God was bringing us to ourselves, look how He afflicted our souls then. And He relieved it then. And so even now, as we're His children, we come and tell Him, Lord, this is... If we had a child that was sick, the first thing you do when you go to the doctor, they say, where's it hurt? Well, that's what God said. That's what David said. I went and complained. I poured out my complaint before the Lord and said, Lord, I told Him my troubles. My troubles. Oh, you think anybody can understand it better and hear it better? Oh my, what is it? What is it to patiently bow to the will of God? To submit to it? And what does it mean to do that? Well, God gives us a frame. In His grace, He gives us a frame of soul whereby we are content. We can be content to be at God's disposal and say, Lord, God is too wise to do wrong in this situation. You know, it's like Samuel. Samuel's just a young man. And he was sent up to the temple to learn and be with Eli the prophet, or Eli the priest. Eli had two sons. The sons, they were sorry sons. Sorry sons. They hung around at the temple door, tabernacle door, and they took bribes, and they took money away from people, took food away from people. They were just hirelings. And old Eli never done anything about it. Finally, God told Samuel, Samuel said, I'm going to kill them two boys. He said, they're wicked boys. They're wicked. Oh, they don't take care of the priest's office. They don't do what's right by me. They don't do right by what their father. And God told Samuel that, and then Eli said to Samuel, I know God visited you last night and told you something. I want you to tell me what it was. Oh, Master, I don't know. Tell me. He said, well, Eli, God said He's going to kill both your sons at the same time. Now, you know Eli wept. You know he cried. You know he was heartbroken. You know he was felt his guilt for how he let his children get by. The things he let them do and not reprove them and rebuke them. You know he was hurting, he was heartbroken. And yet he said, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. Huh? Let me show you over here in Acts 26. Here's you another illustration of the very same thing. Acts 26. God gives us in His grace. Now we can't do this naturally. Our first reaction is like Paul when he had those... Acts 21, excuse me. Did I say 26? Acts 21. He asked the Lord three times. He had that thorn in his flesh. And this goes to show you how the afflictions of God are good for us. He asked the Lord three times, take this thorn out of my side. Take this affliction from me. And he says, God sent that affliction to him. He said, I'm not going to take it away. I'm not going to take it. It's good for you to have this thorn. It's good for you to have this affliction. I'm going to give you grace to bear it. But he says, the reason he gave that, he said, lest he be exalted. He had had revelations. He had been caught up into the third heaven. He had seen Christ. He had talked with Christ. He had had visions of Christ. He went and had conversations with Christ. He learned the gospel right from the very mouth of Christ Himself. Then he was caught up, whether in and out of the body, he didn't know. But he had all these glorious revelations, used mightily of God. Wrote almost all of the New Testament in the epistles. And he said, lest I be exalted above measure, there was a thorn given to me. God said, I'm not going to let you get high. I'm not going to let you be exalted. I'm not going to let you be proud. And so what did he do? You imagine what would happen to us if God didn't put us in the fire occasionally. Look what a state we get in when He does put us in the fire. When He does try us, we still get in pretty sorry shape. I mean, I'm just speaking for me. But look here in Acts 21, in verse 11. Verse 10, excuse me. Chapter 21, verse 10, Acts. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when he heard these things, and when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. They didn't want Paul to suffer. They didn't want Paul to go to Jerusalem. They didn't want Paul to be bound. And they began to weep and cry and plead with him, "Don't go, don't go." And he says, "I'm going. I'm going to go. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going up there at this feast time. I'm going up there to bear witness to Christ. Live or die, don't make..." And they said, finally, they said, "Well, God's will be done. God's will be done." They just submit it to the will of God. And another thing is when we patiently submit and just passively submit to the will of God is this. We see, you cannot acknowledge God's hand and submit to it unless you see God's hand in everything. You know, that's most folks' problems. They do not see God's hand. They don't understand that God is control and God rules and reigns over everything. You know, before you can submit and patiently, passively and patiently submit to the will of God, you've got to acknowledge God's hand in everything that goes on in this world. If you don't do that, then you're going to always be in a turmoil. You're going to never have any peace. Every time something goes against you, you're going to get upset. Every time things come up against you, you're going to get mad about it. You're going to think you deserve better. But whenever you see that God's hand is God's hand, this world and everything's in it, it's in His hand.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, people say, "Well, I just can't hardly believe that." I'm going to say it this way. I'd rather be in God's hands than anybody else's hands in this universe. I'd rather have God's will, His active will, His afflictive will, whatever will it is, His will of decree, it makes no difference to me. I'd rather be in the will of, be in God's hand in any time and under my life than anybody else's. I certainly don't want to be in my hands.
No, sir.
I don't want to be in your hands. I don't want you to decide my will for me, what I'm supposed to bear and what I'm not supposed to bear, where I'm supposed to be and where I'm not supposed to be, what I'm supposed to suffer and what I'm not supposed to suffer. I don't want you to decide that for me. I don't want the government to decide it for me.
No, sir.
So you see, I tell you what, that's why Job, he said, "It's the Lord, He gives, and it's the Lord He took away." Oh, his wife said, curse God, and go ahead and die. You've done lost everything. He said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord give and the Lord take it away. Woman, are you foolish? Would we charge God foolishly?" Oh, my. Oh, he doesn't complain of the second causes. He doesn't blame them. He sees God in all of his affliction. Oh, there was Sabians had come down and killed his servant. It was Chaldeans had come down and stole all of his cattle. And one thing, it was a great tornado of lightning come down, tore the house down, killed all the kids. He didn't say, "Boy, if it hadn't been for that tornado, if I'd have just got the kids out of the house..." He said, "If I just had an army that kept up bearing them Sabians, wouldn't have come down here and took all my stuff. Killed all my servants." No, no. You know what he says? "The Lord gave. And the Lord took it." He never considered the second cause at all.
Amen. That's right.
Never the second cause. Poor little old Molly yesterday afternoon put that little old bitty tiny casket in the ground. Her heart was so broken. And she said, "You know, I don't understand this, but," he said, "I know it's the right thing to do. I know it's the right thing that's been done. This is a girl that's unconverted. This is the right thing that's been done. God does what's right." I don't either. I said, "We don't have to have answers here. And when we get there, we won't want the answers."
No.
"We won't want them. We'll have them all then." Huh? And we can't submit to God's will till we acknowledge God's hand in all things. And I've told you this before. I've told you this before. When Brother Henry's first son got killed in Vietnam, been over there just a very few days, they brought him back. He was having his funeral. And a fellow, you know, that this year's back in 1969. Somebody said, "Well..." He said, "Here's this preacher preach God's sovereignty and God controls everything. Says, now, Wonder where his God was when his son got killed and was told from the pulpit. He said he is the same place when his son was killed. He's on his throne. Yeah. That's why he could lean over and look at his daughter and say, "Sweetheart, I'll see you soon." That's why Rupert Rivenbark could get up after his daughter committed suicide. We're here to kiss the hand of God's providence this morning. That's why Bill Grisham can come here every service and never complain about his lot in life after God took his wife. And she had four cancers. Fourth one's what killed. Four cancers in his life, and you never heard him complain about it. They said, "It's the Lord. This is the Lord's doing." And if you don't know that, you know how painful it would be to live in this world? You'd be upset all the time, wouldn't you? Ain't you grateful you're in God's hand? Ain't you grateful? If you get the news tomorrow, boy, oh boy, you got five arteries clogged up, and I'm going to clean all of them out. You're going to die if I don't get in there and clean them out. Well, let's get them cleaned out. If I live, it's okay. If I don't, I'll really get well. You just don't fall to pieces over these things. You don't. Bless His name. Well, and patient submissions to God's will has to do with justifying God. Let me show you that in Psalm 22. We justify God in His dealings with us. Now, the world knows nothing about this. Psalm 22. The world knows nothing about this. You know, when God afflicts us and God puts us down, God sends trials and burdens and heartaches our way. When we submit to it, what we do, it has to do with justifying God. We justify Him. We clear Him in His dealings with us. He says in verse 2 here, Psalm 22, "Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but You don't hear me. And I cry in the night season, and I'm not silent. I just keep on crying. But, oh Lord, regardless of what I'm going through, You're holy. You're the one that inhabits the praises of Israel's." And that's what we do. That's what we do. Whatever's going on, whatever, however we cry, we say, "The Lord. It's the Lord. God, You're holy and just regardless of what's going on in me, what You're doing with me. You're holy and just. If I'm crying on my bed at night, if I can't sleep, if I've got heartaches and troubles and fears and anxieties, God, You're holy and just. If my body's racked with pain and I'm sick, God, You're just." You see, God's not only just in punishing the wicked, but He's also just in afflicting His people. And I tell you, whatever He calls us to bear, we vindicate it on Him. We vindicate His righteousness. And oh, beloved, to submit patiently to the will of God, we must see and understand to some degree the necessity of our affliction. If need be, you're in heaven, it's through manifold temptations. God doesn't send anything our way that's not absolutely necessary. You know what He said that Israel's problem was? Said they had the sin of their sister Sodom. They were fat, increased with bread. They were fat, they're full of pride and bread. And I forget the other one. But anyway, it's when we get fat and full of pride and everything's going well, that's when we're in sad shape. It's when we forget God. We forget Him. And you reckon He's going to let us forget Him? Is He going to let us go through this world and not think of Him very often? What a mercy it is that God, you know, whom He loves, He chastens.
Amen.
And every son whom He receiveth, He chastens. And if He don't chasten you, that means that you're not one of His. You're a bastard. And a bastard's an illegitimate child. And He says the only children that He chastises is His own. He don't whip somebody that's not His own. And He'll afflict His own people. He'll afflict them. He'll put His hand heavy on them. And the reason He does this is because it's necessary. And they never does anything that's not necessary. That's why, and I know every one of you have prayed this at times. Say, Lord, whatever it takes to make me a believer that loves you and desires you and needs you, whatever it takes to make me submissive to your will and to know you and desire you, but whatever it takes to make me live to your glory, just break me, humble me, teach me, afflict me, do whatever you need to do to bring me to where you are everything in my life. You're it. Don't let me get up and forget you. Oh, to be in the ministry, God, just take me, turn me upside, do whatever you got to do to get my attention, to keep me looking to you. Losing a few hours sleep's nothing. Compared to having God forsake you and leave you alone, say, oh, He's not mine. Oh, my. And He fixes to keep us humble. Oh, for us to see God's power, God's grace, God's love, God's mercy in bringing us up out of these great trials. And I tell you what, He always helps us to bear it. He said, I'll never put no more upon you than you're able to bear.
Amen.
Huh? And with your temptation, I'll make a way to escape. And He told us that there's coming a time that He'd wipe away our tears in the midst of our afflictions. Wipe away our tears. And beloved, I know this for sure. I know this absolutely for sure. I know this without a shadow of a doubt. That it's the goodness, it's the kindness, it's the love of God Himself that sends every affliction. It's the kindness and love of God. You imagine, you know how it upsets us when we see people who's got children that's absolutely out of control. Never disciplined. Cuss them, you know, just backtalk their mother and father. Just let them go and do anything they want to. They come in your house and they're jumping on your couch, running across your walls, and climbing up on your kitchen tables. And you get upset and say, boy, don't these folks do anything for their kids? Don't they know how to train a child? And you see these kids plumb out of control. That's what we'd be. God didn't put His hands on us. That's what we would be. Ain't that right? And we say, you know, if you don't love your child, you'll never discipline. Only people who don't discipline their children who love themselves. And God loves us too much to let us be anything else than He is. And I bless Him for it. Oh, our Father, how wonderfully gracious You are. Thank You for this, Your Word tonight. Bless it to our hearts, bless it to our souls, bless it to our understanding. Lord, it's easy for us to stand here and talk about these things and preach these things. And yet, dear Lord, it's another story whenever it happens. So I pray that You'd bring these things to our remembrance. And Father, I thank You for these dear saints. I've seen so many bear so much. And Lord, You've upheld them. And I thank You for that. God bless. God strengthen. Lord Jesus, bless Larry and Cindy and that dear family, Molly and Jess and Dorothy and Carlos. Peggy, Lord, God, just touch her body. And others among us, and all the troubles that people have in their own home, and fears and anxieties that they have, the doubts and the worries, the desires and the fears. Oh Lord, You know them. You're their Father. And we know that You, as Your Father, their Father and our Father, You'll always do what's right with us. We bless You for that in Christ's name. Amen.